Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda, Baby Yoda.
Oh my god.
Baby Yoda.
Welcome to Pop Culture Baby Yodas.
That's right.
Pop Culture Man Children, PCMC. This is the only podcast that's talking about Baby Yoda. It's not true at all.
It's gonna be the best.
You bet. Baby Yoda is taking the world by storm.
Spelled B-E-B-E.
Yoda.
Yoda.
That's the voice of Jeanine Gagliardi. How are you today?
I'm good.
Thanks for being here,
Jeanine. I'm feeling delirious. I'm tired. I'm in love with Baby Yoda. Let's do it.
Don't you just want to sleep in a safe little floating pod like Baby Yoda?
Oh my God.
I love when they take normal things and they Star Wars them up.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes.
It can't just be a bassinet. It's got to float.
Yeah. Yep.
It's got to be Star Wars-y in some way.
Oh my gosh. Do you think it's like waterproof? Got to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so warm in there. Those little blankets.
Oh my God. So we should say, by the time you hear this,
Well, by the time you listener, hear this, like 4 episodes will be out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. As of now, there are 3.
Yeah. 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 And I've seen all 3. Jeanine's only seen 2.
I've only seen the first 2.
I was like, Jeanine, watch the 3rd one. She was like, I got to raise my baby. And I was like, oh, fucking, all right. Way to prioritize the podcast.
Not as cute as Baby Yoda.
You know what? I thought about making that joke too. And I was like, you know what? That's
Leave
wrong.
It for the mother of the child to make that joke.
I mean,
his ears are big.
Your baby's
but not
cute.
As big as Baby Yoda.
They're not green.
He has a beady little eyes.
So, what's to say about Baby Yoda?
That hasn't been said.
I know. So, how did you feel when you first saw Baby Yoda?
I felt a lot of things.
Well, I saw it first, and I was like, you have to watch it.
Yeah.
You have to watch it. You've got to watch it.
Immediately. And then you kept asking me throughout the week, did you watch it yet? Oh my God, did you watch it yet? And then, like, the next series of texts were, like, either really late at night or really early in the morning, and I was just like, Baby Yoda!
Right. Because everyone had the same reaction.
Yes. Yeah. So, okay. Do you want to talk about who this Baby Yoda potentially is, how this Baby Yoda makes you feel in your heart, like you want to protect it?
All of the above.
Oh my gosh.
All of the above.
The design?
Yes.
Or more importantly, Werner Herzog's reaction to Baby Yoda.
I actually haven't seen that yet.
Okay.
So I've heard about it.
Werner Herzog on the red carpet was asked about Baby Yoda, and I can't do an impression of him without like turning into Arnold Schwarzenegger for some reason, but in his beautiful voice, he's like, I saw it on the set. It is heartbreakingly beautiful.
I love him. That's also the red carpet where they're like, have you ever seen a Star Wars movie? And he's like, no.
I love him so much.
He's like, no.
He's my all-time favorite
mythology.
Part of Rick and Morty.
Oh, they will always talk about their penises.
The humans are a culture of penis obsessed.
They'll hold something in front of them and go, look at this. This is my penis. This is my bread penis. This is my pickle penis and such.
And so on. I love him.
I love it. He's so good.
He's so in on the joke.
Yeah.
That is himself.
He's great in it.
He is really good.
He's great in some old, like, imperial creep.
I just love that he thinks Baby Yoda's heartbreakingly beautiful.
I
agree.
I completely agree.
I agree.
I 100% agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it's funny that Disney was selling The Mandalorian as like this gritty,
like Star Wars Western.
Yeah, it's this gonna be Deadwood in Star Wars. And the world's been like, Baby Yoda!
I know.
It's the Baby Yoda show.
How could they not have known? Well, I pitched an idea to you where it would be Baby Yoda's day out.
Yes.
Right? And it always ends in like a construction site. Mm-hmm. And like Baby Yoda's crawling on girders and the Mandalorian. It's like that Tom and Jerry episode. Or what was it? I sent you the actual name of the Animaniacs, which is just like a recurring bit that's just that Tom and Jerry thing where it's like Mindy and Buttons, I think.
Yeah.
Where like this dog has to keep the baby alive.
Baby Yoda's like almost going to like
fall down
a manhole.
But like he comes along and like stretches his body out and makes sure it looks like a little pathway. Yes, absolutely. I would love this. And like that song, like the Wheel of Progress or something is always playing where it's like, dun, 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 and he like ends up being in a factory.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. 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 That's the whole show.
And that's,
I would be so happy.
Baby Yoda's day out.
Baby Yoda's day out.
Let's say spoiler alert for The Mandalorian. my reaction. Mm-hmm. So he opens the pod, mm-hmm. and you see ears. Ugh. And I was like, no. And then he's like, I thought he was supposed to be 50. Mm-hmm. And then IG-11 is like, they age differently.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it can't be. This can't be. And I'm a big Star Wars fan, so I know the mythology behind Yoda, which is no mythology.
That right.
In this amazing world of Star Wars where everything is explained, mm-hmm. every gun, every ship, every species.
Freaking cell in your body is explained.
It's never been explained what Yoda's species is.
Yeah. Or they don't even have a name.
No. Or where they come from. Right. Or anything.
Yeah.
There's and only been two in main canon.
Yoda and Yaddle.
And Yaddle, I don't think ever even speaks.
No.
And she's only in episode one. She's not
Which
in episode...
Which is about, I'm just saying, around the time...
All right, here we go.
This little creature would have been born. Okay. So now I get what you mean about like other podcasts filtering in...
Yes.
...to your like rhetoric because Binge Mode posited three potential...
Yeah.
...backstories.
Which we could talk about because I feel like they are what people talk about on the internet.
Yes. So it's either like... Yoda's kid, mm-hmm. which I don't think it will be. And I don't think it should be.
No.
Just a member of the same species, which I think is probably the most likely, or a clone of Yoda.
My friend Chris Sorrentino, who created the PCMC logo, actually both PCMC logos, the original and the new one that you're enjoying, he posited a time travel scenario.
Interesting.
Because... outside of the movies, time travel is a thing that happens in Star Wars now.
So, like, Yoda was raised in the future and then sent back?
Yes.
What?
Now, I have to say, as fun as it is to talk about all this, my guess is that it's just someone of the same species.
Probably.
And that that species just happens to be very Force sensitive.
I think also extremely rare.
Yes.
That one member of the species could be so valuable. To try to harness its abilities.
But where'd it come from?
I don't know. I don't think it belongs there. What is, where are they on Ryloth?
Well, that's one of the cool things about Mandalorian, which is like, they don't say a lot.
Yeah.
Mandalorian, we don't know his name. Mm-hmm. The Baby Yoda. Disney calls it the child. We call it Baby Yoda.
Right.
And when I say we, I mean
the world at large.
Yeah. And we call it Baby Yoda because Yoda is what we're calling the species.
Right. Yeah, right. I mean, we don't have
another
name for
it. Some people have trouble with Baby. It's like he's Baby Yoda.
It's Baby Yoda. Like, it's a Baby Yoda. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I love that Baby Yoda is a puppet. Right?
So cute.
He's real.
Yeah.
He exists.
He feels like, yes, he takes up space in the scenes.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't seem like the Mandalorian's acting against nothing or like a little... like tennis ball. It's I love it. I love their relationship already. I love from that opening shot, that shot of their introduction, right, where he just like sticks out his little finger.
It's like the creation of man.
Yeah. Yes. And if they changed that in Rome and they went into the Vatican,
my God,
and repainted it with Baby
Yoda,
that
would do a lot for their tourism.
The Catholic Church's brand would be
top. I don't want priests around Baby Yoda.
No.
I don't trust them.
No, but that's when the Mandalorian will protect him. Do you think it's a boy or a girl?
Well.
Does Yoda's species even have gender?
Yeah.
No, we know Yoda's a boy.
Well, I guess
he likes
this
trucks
is a spoiler alert for you.
Okay.
But in episode 3, the doctor refers to it in male pronouns.
Okay.
But I did think that at first.
Yeah.
I was like, it could be a girl.
A little girl Yoda.
Because Yaddle looks just like Yoda,
except
she's got like a blonde wig.
Yeah, but except it starts like the middle of her head.
We should say that Yaddle's a ridiculous character that I wish never happened.
Yaddle.
I know. The fact that her name is Yaddle.
Well, then, see, that in itself suggests things about a culture that belongs to this species, like a naming culture, right? Like Yoda and Yaddle, as dumb as it is, like they both
and they
have
must
wives.
Talk they that
both,
way on their planet.
Yeah. It's weird.
But if the baby... If Baby Yoda gets raised by a Mandalorian,
right,
he'll be like, hey, what's up?
Who had the baby to begin with? If it's not Imperial
loyalists.
Well, I
mean, what comes first? The Baby Yoda or the egg? Are they born in a mammalian way?
Because he's kind of reptilian.
Yeah.
So it could be an egg.
And he eats frogs.
Yeah.
He swallows them
whole. Let
me
tell you something. The entire episode, and I don't know if you had this feeling as well, but I was like, is anyone going to feed this thing? Where's he getting his food from?
That's your motherly, because I was not thinking
No, I was worried the entire time. I was like, the baby is going to starve. Somebody feed it.
Here's my thinking. Yoda is like 900 years old when we meet him. And we know this baby's 50. I'm imagining that all of its bodily functions are slow. Like maybe it eats once a week.
Right.
Maybe it poops once a week.
Yeah.
This is what I'm thinking.
Okay. That's not a bad idea. I think that probably tracks.
Also, you gotta think, the episodes have been like back to back. So I think in narrative time, it's only, he's only been with Baby Yoda for like not that long.
I know, but he was like a day.
That's true. Babies do like babies to eat
like
once
to
a
eat
day.
In a day.
At least once, right? I don't know anything about babies.
I just love the like, get that out of your mouth.
I know.
It's so cute.
I love the way he acts towards him.
I know. When he sleeps after he does his big force move.
Yeah. Oh.
And he just keeps like looking back like, you okay?
I love it.
You okay, bud?
He gets so tuckered out.
Yeah.
I love when he is.
Oh, it's not the Force Awakens. The Force goes to sleep.
All right, so
Force takes a nap.
I love when Mando has like the cut on his arm, and Baby Yoda gets out, and he's
gonna
like,
"Come help you!"
And he's like squinting because he's trying so hard
to
reach it.
He's trying so hard, and little baby.
And then, and it's a real like funny visual gag because he picks him up and puts him back, and then like a second later, he's back reaching for it.
He just moves so slowly.
But something no one's talking about with that scene is we've never seen healing as a Force power. Was he trying to heal him?
Oh,
what? When Luke gets knocked out by the Tusken Raider? And what?
Padme in episode 3 as well.
You know, I didn't
but that's
that
like
healing.
Waking you up.
I thought he was like, not the Luke thing, because I do think that is healing. But with Padme, I always thought he was just checking her vitals. Is he like, she's still alive? Okay.
Even with Luke, I always thought he just puts his hands. I guess you're right.
I guess it's canon, though, that you can do
it. Looked
it.
Like Baby Yoda was going to like touch his cut
and
make it go away.
Yeah. Or maybe he just wanted blood because he was thirsty.
Well, that's the weird thing, which is like in Star Wars, there's different people who do different things with the Force. Like some fans don't like it. You know, the fans that say like Rey's a Mary Sue, or they don't like that Leia flies unconsciously, whatever. But
well,
like in
I'm in that camp of I thought it looked stupid. But I don't think it's not canon that she can use the Force.
Right. But even, you got to think, and this is something Rian Johnson said, every movie introduced something different.
Mm.
There's no telekinesis in the first movie. There's no moving things with your mind.
Mm.
The first time you see that is when Luke tries to move the lightsaber.
Mm.
When he's in the cave. The Wampa Wampa cave.
Wampa Wampa.
And also in Empire, that's the first time you see a telepathy between Leia and Luke,
yeah.
And
right, when she knows where he is.
Ezra from Rebels is a Beastmaster. He speaks to animals.
That's in the prequels too.
Is it?
Yeah, when they're in the like fighting pit where
And Geonosis?
Yeah, and Geonosis. Obi-Wan? No, Anakin. Anakin like force controls the beast that's gonna kill him.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But in Rebels, Ezra would be like, how are you feeling? Oh, he says his name is Bruce. Like he like really can talk to him.
Okay.
And then in the
maybe
new video,
it's like a thing where like Force users have almost like mutants, like where they
it
all
can
have
be
like
different.
A strength. Yeah. Like a different area of the Force that they're strongest at.
Yeah, I think so. In the new video game Jedi Fallen Order, the protagonist, he can like get echoes of memory.
Okay.
Like he'll like walk into, he's like a medium. Like he'll walk into a room and sense like what has happened there.
Okay. So it's like a little stronger than like sensing an imbalance in the Force. Like when Alderaan gets destroyed and he's like, something terrible just happened.
They all
have that sense. As long as they don't go too crazy with it. And then eventually there's like the Ice Jedi and the the Nightcrawler Jedi.
Let me ask you, a lot of people didn't like Force, no, who didn't like Last Jedi didn't like Luke's projection.
I didn't have an issue with that.
I gotta say, at first I felt a little deceived. But then the more I thought about it, the more I liked it. And also the more I thought of it as echoing the projection of Leia in the first movie that R2 shows him. I liked it more. But it's funny, when Rian Johnson was like on Twitter trying to defend himself, I don't know if you remember this, but like
it's in the canon. Yeah, he
did a little video of him taking out a book from the 90s mm-hmm. and like looking up that's a power that
force
existed.
Projection. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't have an issue with it. In my head, canon, I think Luke was just, he's been chilling on that island, just becoming stronger and stronger in the Force.
And it does kill him. It's not like he just does it easily.
Yeah, it's not like it's the easiest thing in the world. Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of people don't like what they call Force Time, named after FaceTime. But really...
Force Time. I love it.
But really, Luke and Leia do that. It's just...
Luke and Leia do it. They just didn't...
In The Last Jedi, they show the backgrounds and stuff.
Yeah.
Back to Baby Yoda. Yeah. Baby Yoda. I can tell you in episode 3, he doesn't use the Force again.
Because he's so tired.
He's so tuckered out.
Mm.
Now, I would say, going back to the clone thing, I don't think he's a clone. But I think they're trying to use him to... they're trying to clone him.
Interesting.
Because the doctor whatever his name is, mm-hmm. he is wearing like...
That's not the guy from Daredevil, right?
I've never watched Daredevil.
Okay. I don't think it is, but I like for a moment I was like, is
that played
him?
Daredevil?
Yeah, that's not him, right? He's too big of a star to be doing a role like that, right? I feel like I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it's him.
Like a stretch. I don't know if it's him, but I don't know if I call
just to be
the guy
like
plays Daredevil
lead and then just be like this like doctor character on the show. I don't know.
Yeah.
Unless the character was expanded.
Maybe. I don't know where the character's going.
Alright.
One of the things I like about Mandalorian is like a lot of people don't have names.
Yeah.
They don't really name all the places that they are.
Yeah.
I like that in a fantasy world that like often too often explains stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think it's interesting that Baby Yoda is a part of it, because Baby Yoda or Yodas or whatever have always been mysterious mm-hmm. in the canon. So it's interesting. It sort of echoes what the whole show is doing.
Yeah, because it's not doing the prequel thing of it, like meticulously explaining everything ad nauseum.
Right.
It's keeping it a mystery. Like we still know nothing. And we're even more tantalized by this little creature.
In episode 3, which you have not seen yet,
mm-mm.
They mention how Mandalorians don't take their helmets off.
Right.
The sort of head Mandalorian of their little clan, mm-hmm. the one with like the medieval looking helmet.
Yeah.
She says to him, they're talking about honor, and she says like, have you ever removed your helmet?
Mm-hmm.
Has someone else removed your helmet from you? And they're like, no. Like, so again, that thing of like mystery, like it's all about like, well, do you think he'll ever remove his helmet?
Yes.
You do?
I do. Because if I were Pedro Pascal, I would never sign on to a show where you didn't get to see my face.
What else has he done?
Game of Thrones. He was a pretty big character. A fan favorite. Oberyn Martell.
I don't know. I feel like...
And he was in Kingsman, the American one. The like second Kingsman.
I didn't see that one.
If I were Pedro Pascal, I just don't think it would be...
I'd do it.
A self-preservation thing as an actor. To not have my face associated with my biggest role. Like... How am I going to get hired? It's like you were the Mandalorian. That could have been anybody. Mm. Like, I know legally your name is on it, but like, I don't associate you with it. So.
But he actually plays him.
I know.
It's not like he's just voicing him.
I just don't. That's my approach. That's if I were an actor. Because you're selling your face, right?
Of course. I think he actually does a really good job working through it.
Mm.
Like, the more I watch it, the more I feel like just from his gait, mm-hmm. I could understand Mandalorian is thinking and feeling.
Mm-hmm. What's funny is like his other big role as Oberyn Martell, he's like a talker,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's a chatty dude. He's very seductive. He's like a Mediterranean type.
Really?
So it's a very different role.
He's interesting in real life because he wears fancy shirts. You ever seen him?
He?
He's very stylish. He's got a sort of almost like Jeff Goldblum.
Okay.
He's very thin.
Yeah.
And he wears like very like ornate kind of like flowery Ooh. Shirts. He's a very interesting dude.
Well, he's from all over. He's, oh gosh, now I can't remember which country he was born in. I think Chile, I want to say. But then his parents sought asylum in Denmark because they were involved in a revolution, which is really cool. And then eventually ended up in Southern California and Texas. So he's like from all over the place.
So the guy who plays the doctor, whose name is Dr. Pershing.
Okay.
He...
He's definitely not the guy from Daredevil.
No, he's not. His name is Omid Abtahi.
Mm-hmm.
He did a voice in Love, Death, and Robots.
Okay.
And he seems to do a lot of voices and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he looks like he's dressed like a, like I forget the name of them, but the ones, the planet where the clones come from in Attack of the Clones. And he's even got that like look. So I think they're going to, they're trying to use the baby to clone. Mm-hmm. And I think
Kamino?
Maybe. Yeah, Kamino. I think that's what the doctor wants. And I think the client, played by Werner Herzog, I think he wants him dead.
Yeah.
Well, like in the Clone Wars series, there was a pretty dark plot line about like the Emperor having people like finding force sensitive babies and killing them.
Oh.
Because he didn't want more Jedis.
Mm.
So I think that's part of what's happening in Mandalorian. Okay. At least from Werner Herzog, who's like an old Imperial.
Like an old loyalist.
Now, when I first watched the show, I didn't read him as an Imperial, which is stupid of me because he's wearing an Imperial pendant.
Uh-huh.
But it's after Return of the Jedi. Right. So there's technically not an Empire anymore.
Well, right before he meets Werner Herzog, the Mandalorian is with Carl Weathers.
Yeah.
And he gives him galactic credits.
Yeah.
And he's like, there's no Empire anymore. Like right before then. And then you walk in, there's stormtroopers, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
Wait a second.
Yeah. They do a pretty good job at trying to tell you where in the timeline it is.
My thing about that is, why dismantle the stormtrooper system? Why not just take it over and anybody who's still really loyal, get rid of them? But it's like a built-in like policing system, military. Like, you're not just going to throw the baby out with the bathwater just because you won.
Well, here you go. I'll explain, because I know.
Because it's thousands of people.
Yeah, but here's the thing about the canon.
Mm.
It's kind of like the way Germany has never had an army again.
Mm.
The New Republic did not have like an army.
Mm-hmm.
They have eventually they have a very small, minimal military force,
mm-hmm.
which you don't even see. They're referred to briefly in The Force Awakens.
Oh, is it like the UN peacekeeping troops and they all have like Robin's Egg blue helmets?
Yeah, kind of. That's why I like the the good guys in the new trilogy are Resistance. They're not from the New Republic.
Okay.
Because the New Republic tries to not be like the Empire as much as possible.
You know, I always wondered what the political landscape was in the new movies, because I didn't understand.
It's not very clear.
Yeah, I didn't understand what was happening. Like, if there's a New Republic that's supposedly functioning, why is there a resistance, and who are the First Order?
After the fall of the Empire, they kept the rule of chancellor like they had before the Empire. And Mon Mothma was the chancellor.
Okay. Good for her.
Around the time of The Force Awakens, she's like very ill and not like kind of holding on to life.
Mm-hmm.
And they create a new role called First Senator.
Okay.
Which Leia runs for, and that's a whole book.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of, when the Empire dies, a bunch of Imperial factions stick around and become part of organized crime, which is what I think you're seeing in Mandalorian.
Okay.
And then a bunch go out to the far reaches of space, which I think,
like outer rim planets and stuff?
No, even further than that. Oh. Like deep, wild space, which I think is also,
because Jakku is outer rim.
That's all going to be part of, I think, the Rise of Skywalker.
Okay.
Like you've seen the trailer Rise of Skywalker, like all those Imperial Star Destroyers like coming up out of ice. Like, I think part of the Emperor's plan was like, if the Empire falls, like go out into deep space and something like that. That's also like the books have referred to some of that.
Okay.
So anyway, the First Order began as like the alt-right.
Mm-hmm.
They began as like, there was a political faction that, okay, there are two parties.
Oh my god.
No, in Star Wars there are two, in the sequel trilogy, before Force Awakens, like in between, there are two parties.
Mm-hmm.
And one party believes in each system having its own autonomy, its own senator, its own whatever. And then there's another party that are more about a centralized power.
Mm-hmm.
The First Order is sort of like a paramilitary. They're kind of like, they begin in drugs. They're kind of like cartels.
Okay.
And that's where they gain their power, and that's where they gain their money, and they get
and then they gain their women.
Yes. And they get connected with the party that's all about a centralized government.
Okay. Okay.
And that's
and that becomes the first order. Okay, okay, okay.
Yeah.
And then as they beef up their military and it looks like they're going to do like a coup or something, right. I guess that's where the resistance comes in.
And then they use the Starkiller base to destroy
star systems.
Right. Which is where
they destroy Coruscant in that? Is that where the New Republic is?
No, the New Republic is in Hosnian Prime.
Okay. And they destroy
Which they destroy in The Force Awakens. Which is part of why you don't see.
Poor foresight. That's so many taxes.
Yeah.
What? Like a whole star system's worth of taxes, you morons. And how much did it cost to power up the Starkiller base? Now you have to do it again. You don't have those taxes to draw
from. You need a whole sun.
You idiot. Like, never thinking.
Well, but they wanted to get rid of the fucking Republic. That's one of the reasons why I think the policies are confusing. Because there's a situation and then it immediately is taken away. Because it's just like, they kind of just wash their hands of it. Like, oh, the New Republic's gone.
Yeah, now we're in charge. Right. Who says?
Right. I guess because they're the only power that there is at that point. There's a cool book called...
But again, they have no infrastructure in all the star systems. They just exist. Like,
the Empire, they don't have an infrastructure. All they have is super weapons. Mm. It's like in the original movie where... Grand Moff Tarkin is like, we don't need a Senate, we just need the Death Star to scare people.
It's like their nuke.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, we have all this strength. So Kylo Ren in The Rise of Skywalker is like, he really did do what Darth Vader set out to do. He is the king shit of everything because he's the supreme leader of the galaxy.
Right. Well, it's what Anakin wanted to do with Padme. Right. Rule with her by his side.
Right.
Force everyone.
My new empire.
Yeah.
Oh, Anakin.
Only my new powers will save you.
Oh, God. You know what? She didn't die of a broken heart, and I'm sick of fucking hearing this. She died because the Emperor killed her.
You think?
He used the Force to kill her. How would the plan work without her dying?
It wouldn't have. It wouldn't have.
So he just hoping she would die?
He had to get rid of her.
Right.
He had to. Now, there is that theory. See? We're drawing on this other info. There is that theory that while he is giving life to Anakin to produce Darth Vader, that he is drawing that life force from Padme.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I just resist. As much as I think there's plenty of things to criticize about the prequels, I always hate when people... It feels like a straw man argument. People are like, oh, she died of a broken heart. It's like,
I hate that.
She didn't. She clearly didn't.
Did you ever see the Guess I'll Die?
First of all, he choked her to death.
Or he's just like, guess I'll die.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel like she dies pretty fucking quick, but, you know.
She goes out like a fucking...
Yeah, like a chump. Bum. Not as bad as the Jedis with Order 66,
oh,
though.
Oh, God.
It's like, are you even a Jedi?
Like a bunch of bums. No sense whatsoever.
Yeah, I know.
Don't even look behind
you. A fucking clone is right behind you and shoots you in the back? You're
no
a Jedi.
No sense of danger. Are you kidding? No.
See, this gets into one of the things I love about The Last Jedi, which is when Luke is like, the Jedi suck.
They were so up their own asses.
They were the worst.
They had no clue. They had no sense of what was going
on.
They,
like, let the Empire happen right under their noses.
Obi-Wan sends a hologram and gets attacked in the hologram, and Yoda's like, I think something might be going on over there.
They suck.
Thanks for playing, Yoda. Good job.
On the podcast, We Hate Movies, they did the prequels, and one of them was talking about, like, you're sitting right next to the devil, and you can't sense it at all. Mm. So stupid.
It's clouded.
Well, yeah, and then in binge mode, they talk about how he, like, Yoda does nothing. They're super bureaucratic and shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They were stale.
I like when writers in the world of Star Wars are allowed to critique things, but also sort of ameliorate them through their own readings. Mm-hmm. Like, there was recently a book by Claudia Gray, who I think is my favorite Star Wars novelist, and it was... It's called Master and Apprentice, and it's a Qui-Gon Obi-Wan story.
Okay.
And there's a part where Qui-Gon's like, we were better off in temples. Like, we should have never... Why were we in Coruscant, a giant city? Like, it made us into politicians. Like, I like being able to fix what I see as a problem in the narrative through that.
Well, Lucas was so intent on like having it be understood how powerful they were, whereas like the cartoon series would show us how powerful they were, how like you would shit your pants if you saw a Jedi coming in, because you're like he could take out a whole room of people pointing guns at him. Like it didn't matter. So and then to send these Jedi off in that shitty way. It's horrible. I know. It's so weird.
Such punks.
Yeah, real punks.
But it's just, I mean, there's just bad characterizations too, because like you don't really know all of those Jedi, like Kit Fisto, they're all much more
Shakti.
Yeah, they become characters really in the Clone Wars. Like you don't know much. Even Mace Windu.
Yeah,
like you don't Mace know much Windu's about a big him. Deal He's much better in the cartoon. Stuff. Because he doesn't like Anakin. Like, that's his big thing in cartoons, is that he doesn't like Anakin. Yeah.
And you can tell
and
he doesn't.
And he's right.
Yeah, he is right. The one time in the prequels the Jedi are right is him saying, Anakin, you can't come with me to arrest the Emperor.
Right.
Because I don't trust your judgment when it comes to him.
Yeah.
And of course, Anakin goes anyway.
Motherfucker. Let's see what else.
Well, okay, cool. I don't know anything about the third episode of The Mandalorian.
Yes.
Except that he doesn't use his baby force powers because he's so baby tired. but I know that the director of that episode is helming the Obi-Wan series.
Ah.
And people are very excited because apparently it's the best Mando episode so far.
It is pretty awesome.
And they're like, oof, we're in good hands.
Yes, and it felt the most like a Western to me.
Okay.
Like it has some Western, actual like Western stuff happening in it.
Okay.
I think the direction's been really good.
Yeah. I feel like there's a little bit of a Western resurgence happening right now. Like Logan.
Yeah.
Was like a big Western themed thing. Yeah. Which one was it? Unforgiven? It was like took a lot from Unforgiven, I think.
Yeah.
And this show has like this Western space aesthetic.
Yeah.
Which I like a lot. And if it goes well, I feel like people have been trying to bring back the Western for years.
Well,
and
I feel like
other genres are doing it really well.
The Western and the cowboy myth is such a part of the American ideology that it's like, I think that's part of, like, I think that's part of why zombie narratives are so popular. Because we want to redraw the map. We want the map to go away and have to redraw it. Because like,
but Westerns never really took again.
No, not in that way, but I would argue that superhero movies are Westerns just in an ideological sense.
Interesting. I've always looked at them as like our pantheon, like our mythology, our like Greek gods and goddesses.
Well, that's a good way. That's a good read as well. Let's talk about Baby Yoda memes.
Baby Yoda!
Because the memes have been...
Mwah. Oh, so good. So good.
And
well, there's of course the one we brought up, just like the
in
guy,
the, last episode.
The guy looking at the girl when he's with his girlfriend.
Yeah,
you just plug Baby Yoda in.
Baby Yoda is the hot
distracting
girl,
distracting him,
and then the girlfriend is
BB-8
and a porg,
and Dio, and Ronnie James Dio.
Yes, Dio. I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard BB-8 makes Dio.
Oh, stop it. Babies having babies.
It's the problem with the world.
You know, when the first trailer for Force Awakens came out and they introduced BB-8, I was like, why are you trying to make me fall in love with a droid in a movie that R2-D2 is in? But then R2-D2 was barely
He's really
in
not
it.
In it.
So I was like, okay, I guess I'll love you, BB-8.
R2-D2 and C-3PO really have been... they got the short end of the stick.
Yeah.
But it looks like the new one, though, they're both in it.
Yeah, just to kill him, I guess. C-3PO. Yeah,
there's a TV spot out now that has more footage in it.
Yeah.
And it shows more of that scene where I guess C-3PO was dying or whatever. And you hear another line of dialogue where he says, "All this time, all we've done." Which is like so intriguing because it's gonna be intense.
They've been the flies on the wall of the galactic history.
How great would it be if they use that scene as a way of shoehorning the title in? Like, that's the moment we've been working on. Like, all this time, all we've done, it's been quite a Star Wars. All these Star Wars. He looks at the camera.
We did it.
There it is.
And Jeff Garland yells, "That's just like the poster in the background." I can't. Oh my god.
And the real Star Wars were the friends we met along the way.
my God.
Oh, fuck. Let me ask you a question, going back to the show.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it being weekly versus a binge model?
I'm fine with it. I mean, I'd like more of it. But right. I'm fine with it.
I, too, would like more of it. Mm. And I also feel like I didn't know that this is what they were doing. Mm. I feel like Disney Plus has not been exactly what I wanted it to be.
Fair. Yeah.
But
not initially, anyway.
Right.
It might become what I want it to be.
But if Mandalorian did all drop at once, we'd be done talking about it now.
Yeah, absolutely.
There is a second season that they're going to do.
Okay.
They've already said they're starting to do it. So do you think Baby Yoda will ever speak or say anything in the show?
I don't know. I didn't think about it because I thought it was perfect.
Well, he is perfect.
I don't think so. Or maybe not this season. Hmm. Maybe eventually.
You know, I was looking at Baby Yoda and regular Yoda. Mm-hmm. And there's sort of a trick in the design because even though he's obviously the same species, regular Yoda has very human-looking eyes.
Yeah,
and
big old bulbous eyes.
Baby Yoda's pupils, his eyes it's almost just, look black.
Yeah, they're just because
they're just
black.
So big and
yeah.
On the podcast Binge Mode, which we both listen to, they posed a question which I want to hear what you think of, which is, do you think Baby Yoda's too cute?
Nope.
Wait. I understand that instinct, but for the narrative, for what they're trying to do, is he too cute?
Well, what are they trying to do? Make him deeply sympathetic? Because he is. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want anything bad to happen to him. And I'll be really mad at the Mandalorian if he lets anything happen to him.
But when he's not on screen, I'm like, where is he though? Where's
Baby
Yoda?
Come back?
Exactly. And that's...
that's not good.
That can't be what they were going for.
That's true. You made him too appealing.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. I really wonder if...
I'm sorry. I was just thinking of The Simpsons.
What?
When he's Poochie. And he's like, maybe every time he's off screen, a character could be going, where's Poochie?
Yeah. That's what I'm doing.
That's it.
When Baby Yoda's off screen, like, where's Baby Yoda?
Where is he?
Yeah.
You guys got any more Baby Yoda?
Yeah.
Where is he, though? Is he sleeping? Wake him up.
Yeah, come on. Oh. I want more. That's why any shot of him, I'm like, oh, like literally any shot of him doing anything.
Oh,
like just
God.
Him looking at, like there's a shot in episode 2 of him just like standing in a doorway. And I was like, oh my God. He's standing and being a little person.
I know. He's so cute. Look at him. He thinks he's people.
He's great.
Baby Yoda. But it's just cuteness. It's just like I just have this.
He's just pure.
Instinct pure to pick cuteness. Him up and hug him and kiss him.
Yeah. He's so adorable.
And the way he just stays so nicely in his little, like,
he seems so happy.
Like floating little pod.
Yeah. The way he protects the Mandalorian.
Oh, I know. This is daddy.
Aww. But I do wonder if it's distracting. And I do wonder if...
I mean, obviously, it's like all anybody's talking about at this show.
I know, right? This couldn't be what they wanted, right?
No, I'm sure.
The marketing was all like, it's a Western. And like, I know they wanted to keep it a secret, but I do wonder if Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau and all of them, I wonder if they like... They're wondering now, oh shit, did we make him too cute?
Yeah.
Because like, this is going in a direction.
Every episode is Baby Yoda?
He's like the Urkel of Mandalorian.
Oh
like,
my
he,
God,
like,
yeah, now the show's going to be all
like
Baby Yoda.
Kathleen Kennedy's calling him up like, we need more Baby Yoda. They're calling up Hasbro like, get the Baby Yoda figures ready.
We're just going to hear like next week, Mandalorian reshoots.
Yeah.
In the like 11th hour.
Well, in the last 24 hours, I've read two articles. One was from Variety that was about Baby Yoda merchandise coming for Christmas.
Yes.
And then another one was, I think it was from BuzzFeed or something, and it was like, where to get unlicensed Baby Yoda merch as you're waiting for... Because like, there's a lot of like Etsy Baby Yoda merch.
People started making stuff immediately.
Yeah, yeah. And apparently like they have, I don't know who, but they've... rushed t-shirts like because it's easy to make a t-shirt, so apparently like t-shirts are coming out like now.
Okay,
but they weren't planning on doing it.
Yeah,
I don't even think
so. That's what strikes me as odd, because I was like, okay, where's the rollout? Like they're gonna
I really
be doing
don't
a merch
think
rollout so
thought
this
it was
is
gonna
shocking
be.
To me, like they did not expect it.
I really don't think they did expect it.
Wow, how could they not though? Do they not have eyes in their heads and hearts in their chests?
I know. Well, we were saying on the last episode, it's like they tried so hard to make Porgs into a thing. And I love Porgs. They are adorable.
They need to
but
try
they pushed
with this
so
guy.
Hard. Like the on Force Friday, there was like, here's a million different pork toys.
Yeah.
There's been...
There's no baby... But you know what? That's part of the...
There's barely any Mandalorian toys.
That's part of the appeal, though. It's like, we don't even have stuff for you to buy yet. You're going to have to like wait, and you're going to be salivating.
It's going
to
be like 1977 Christmas, yeah, where they're going to have to buy IOUs.
Oh my God. Your brother said that Baby Yoda snatched his wig. Snatched it right off.
By the time I go to Galaxy's Edge, mm-hmm, in February,
oh, there better be like there a better be size Baby Yoda.
There better be a Baby Yoda meet
park
and greet. Oh. I want to hold him.
Yeah.
I just want to hold him.
You can breastfeed Baby Yoda.
Oh my God.
At Galaxy's Edge.
And he looks at you with those big eyes. It is fascinating because I don't know if he's too cute or not, but I do genuinely think they didn't think it was going to be this.
I don't think so.
They didn't
either think
it was going to be a meme. They didn't think that everyone was immediately going to call him Baby Yoda.
Oh my God, what if he had overalls?
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
What if he had a little cowboy hat?
I like his little, like, whatever he's in.
He's like a robe.
A little cowboy hat. He does.
People, what if we got him a puppy?
Oh, stop. People have pointed this out, but it is worth mentioning that he does look a lot like Gizmo.
He does. He does. He's like an even cuter Gizmo.
Yeah. Oh, God. Any shot they do from his perspective and you see like the back of his head with his ears.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's the best. He's a little fuzz. He's so fuzzy.
Yeah. Well, he's 50 years old.
Oh, my God. We should call him.
I want the last episode of Mandalorian to be like him graduating high school. And like
Mandalorian
is
like,
he's like old.
A skeleton in the suit.
Yeah, the head is still on the helmet. I wonder, you know, it's only been a few episodes. And I don't know. I wonder if it's going to be over too soon. I don't know. Like 6 episodes. And they look movie quality.
Yeah.
Like clearly they're
the
spending
money,
fucking ton of money on this shit. Well, we did it. Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda.
What if
put that baby to bed?
What if by the time we air this episode, Baby Yoda's dead?
I will have a funeral for him.
You will see people unsubscribe from Disney
so
Plus.
Quick.
It will. Disney's stock will fall. It'll create another Great Depression.
Oh my God. This is like the next time you see me, I'm in like Jackie O at JFK's funeral.
Oh,
like
God.
Pillbox with the veil.
Yeah. No, I can't.
It's like I need several years to mourn this passing. Oh, sweet
what
baby.
If the end of Rise of Skywalker, he comes out and he's like, I'm grown up Baby Yoda.
Oh, grown up Baby Yoda.
And he fights
so
the
big
Emperor.
Now. I'm so proud of him.
Oh, we
watched
him
just
grow.
Grown up Baby Yoda.
I'm grown up Baby Yoda.
That's my name.
That's my name. I don't want them to ever give him a name.
All the boys are named Yoda.
And all the girls are named Yaddle.
Yeah.
Yaddle. So stupid.
Who are we to say? Why are our naming conventions more important than their naming conventions?
Right. What if all
humans...
Well,
I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't have a name. Like, to not... I mean, he's not a human, but to, like, dehumanize him so that it would make it easier for them to do whatever they're planning on doing. Right. Like,
and
you don't name lab rats, you know?
Well, it's like the Rick and Morty when he's like, don't name it!
Don't name it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I would imagine the Mandalorian's probably going to name him, right?
God, stop it.
I want... It writes itself. And it's so good.
If the next episode was just 40 minutes of the Mandalorian pushing him on a swing, oh my God, I would watch it twice in a row. This has been Pop Culture Man, Children, PCMC. I'm Mike Mangiorno. I'm joined with Janine Gagliardi. As Baby Yoda would say,
nothing.
Yeah.